But we've been going over the 9 principles of bhakti, which you might know. The 9 principles of bhakti yoga. And so today is the last one, the 9th principle of bhakti yoga, which is called Atma Nivedanam. You say it.
Atma Nivedanam.
Atma Nivedanam.
Atma Nivedanam.
Thank you. Which means self-surrender, complete surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Has anybody been attending for all 9? Can anybody say they've attended for all 9 classes about bhakti yoga? Okay, very good. Almost. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Congratulations to you. Thank you. So I picked a bhajan that comes from a collection of bhajans written by one of our predecessor acharyas, spiritual teachers. His name is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's from a collection of songs entitled Sharanagati. Sharana means surrender, and gati, the goal of surrender. So this is, and it specifically epitomizes the subject matter that we're going to talk about today. So if you can hear, see. Can everybody see this? See this? It's okay for me? Okay. No. I'll say, you say. We'll go over the prayer very quickly. Manasa deho geho jo kichumo.
Manasa deho geho jo kichumo.
Arpinuntua pade nandakisho. Very easy to understand. Very simple language. This is Bengali language. But it's manasa means deha, geha, griha, the house, jo kichumo, whatever I have, arpirunto apani nandakisho, I offer that at your lotus feet. Nandakisho means who? Very good. Sampade vipade, jivana marane, Sampade means in good, in happiness, wealth, And bipare means your distress, Jivane, morane, Doya mama gela tua upadavarane. I have, you are only, my only shelter there. Yeah, okay. So, Marobi means kill me. Rakobi means protect me. Jo icha toha. Whatever you like, you can do. Nitya das prati tui adhikar. I'm always your eternal servant. So this is, you get the idea. So we'll sing this just to get us in the, because the topic today was what? What was it? Very good, thank you. So this is the prayer about that. We'll sing, I don't know if we'll sing, if we want, if we'll sing a few lines anyway, and if you can follow. Okay.
Arpinuntua
pade nandakisho. জীবনে মরণে
আমার বারা রাধা
स्वपदे नन्दकिशोर the translation. Mind, body, family, whatever is mine, I surrender at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda. In good or bad fortune, in life or at death, all my difficulties have disappeared by choosing your feet as my only shelter. Kill me or protect me as you wish, for you are the master of your eternal servant. If it is your will that I be born again, then may it be in the home of your devotee. I will be born even as an insect if I remain your devotee, but I have no desire to be born even as Lord Brahma if I am not your devotee. I yearn for the company of devotees who are completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, and husband, you are everything to me. Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, O Kana, please hear me. O Lord of Radha, you are my life and soul.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 The topic of today is? Thank you. And in English that is? Self-surrender. Thank you. So there are 9 processes of bhakti, and this is, of those 9, the last one. Okay. So this is from a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, where Prahlad Maharaj is the great devotee of Krishna and Lord Nrisimhadev, is speaking to his father, and he enumerates these. Shri Prahlad Uvacha, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Parasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam. So I wanted to first read what Srila Prabhupada, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, says about Atmanivedanam, and then we're going to go into it some more, giving some examples and for further illustration. Okay? Atmanivedanam. The word Atmanivedanam refers to the stage at which one who has no motive other than to serve the Lord surrenders everything to the Lord and performs his activities only to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee is like a cow. A cow. I was listening to Srila Prabhupada there was an interview he was giving to a reporter in New York in 1976 from Newsday. And so he was talking about the different orders of society, and so he talked about Vaishyas. Kushigo Raksha. So the Srila Prabhupada said, yes, and so the Vaishyas, their first business is to protect the cow. And the reporter said, protect what? He said, protect the cow. And he said, protect what? He couldn't get it through his mind. This is a very practical thing. Protect the cow. Okay. So, and here we have a devotee is like the cow for the Supreme Personality of God. Okay, perfect. Very interesting. Cared for by its master. When cared for by its master, a cow is not in anxiety over its maintenance. I guess the cow doesn't go to the office. And then they got work visas and all that stuff. Such a cow is always devoted to its master, and it never acts independently, but only for the master's benefit. Some devotees, therefore, consider dedication of the body to the Lord to be Atma Niveda. Sometimes you see some devotees wear this tilak. And actually, in some places in South India, you know, they have you seen this? That they brand the symbols of Vishnu on their arm. That's meant to be dedicating and surrendering your body to the service of Vishnu. Therefore, to be considered that Atma Niveda. And as stated in the book known as Bhakti Vivek, sometimes dedication of the soul to the Lord is called Atma Niveda. Yes, very good. The best examples of Atma Niveda are found in... Anybody know? The best examples of Atma Niveda. What examples do you know? What's that? Bali Maharaj, very good. And who else? Ambarish Maharaj. Yeah, two. And sometimes also it's found in the behavior of Rukmini Devi in Dwaraka. Rukmini Devi in Dwaraka, yes. So, okay. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Virangana Shalakaya Chakshuri Vikramjena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadaramayam Tadati Shatva Nantika Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vashari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're talking about Atma Nivedanam as one of the nine kinds of from behind you, Bhakti Yoga. So we should understand we're not talking about a sectarian kind of concept. You know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam or in any of the Vedic literature, you won't find any place of recommendation that you should become a Hindu. Some people think that's a good thing. Never, or a Muslim, or a Christian. Yeah? We're talking about essential principles of dharma, of religion. Essential principles. Srila Prabhupada would often give the example, a dharma really doesn't mean a kind of faith. Like the dharma of water is wetness. Who said that? Very good. And the dharma of chilies is it? Yeah. So if it's not hot, it's not chili, right? So the dharma means the essential aspect of a thing. So the dharma of the living being is service. Okay. So, and the best service, the topmost service, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma, the topmost service that you can get. Why do people do service? Because they want to be happy, they want to be satisfied, they want to pray. So, and the best service that you can do, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma, is service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Yenatma Suprasidati. Because that can give you full satisfaction in your heart of hearts, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the condition that it can do that? Ahoituki apritihata. It's not done for any material motivation, and it's not checked in any kind of circumstance. So this is the topic we're talking about. Bhakti yoga. We're not talking about a sectarian idea. We're talking about a universal idea that applies to each one, each living being, every living entity. Around, you know, whether in the United States or India or China, Russia, Germany, South America, everywhere. Okay. Another definition of dharma is dharma tu sakshat bhagavat pranita. religion or dharma means that the laws that are given by God. Okay. So it's kind of, when you talk in spiritual circles, especially kind of in the New Agey area, everybody, people think, well, I have my own kind of purpose in life. I've got my own purpose in life. But if you think about it, who knows the purpose of the living entities better than the creator of those living entities? Right? And that same creator has laid down certain laws to follow so that we can be happy. So if a person thinks, well, you know, I've made up my own laws in my house, or in, you know, I made up my own laws and I'll practice them outside, you know, it doesn't work well. The government will say, you say you want to drive at 100 miles an hour? Well, I'm sorry. It doesn't work. So these laws are for everybody. They're universal. And this is one of those laws, how to engage in, we're talking about how to engage in bhakti yoga, atmanivedanam. So this is called self-surrender, the one aspect of the kind of bhakti yoga you can practice. And in one sense, atmanivedanam is kind of a culmination of all the other stages. It starts with shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, hearing and chanting about God. And when you've heard and chanted sufficiently, your heart becomes pure, purified from misunderstanding. Usually, we're under the misconception that we're the body. And therefore, we're involving so much of our energy into trying to satisfy and serve the body. But we become frustrated. But by hearing and chanting regularly about Krishna, the heart becomes cleansed, and we realize that we're not the body, we're the soul, and our real identity is service to Krishna. So then the natural step after that is surrender to Krishna, giving up everything to Krishna. In the material world, we have emblems of people who are self-sacrificing. You know, especially nowadays in this country anyway, I can't say about other countries, but people who sacrifice their lives for their country are given great regard, isn't it? They're considered, we call them heroes. Yeah, the heroes. Yeah, although, you know, you might not ask them. If they get injured, then you might ask them what kind of health care you're getting. They might not have that idea. But anyway, the idea of giving your whole life to something is very well appreciated. I think there's a famous person in American history called Nathan Hale. Do you know Nathan Hale? What did he say? Come on. You're living in the United States, you should know. I have but one life. I regret that I had but one life to give to my country, isn't it? And if you read the Gettysburg Address by, who was that? Abraham Lincoln, it says, we fully resolve that these people who have given their full measure of devotion, what did they do? They died on a battlefield. Yeah, so this idea of, you know, giving everything is respected. But the problem is, we don't know what the best place to give ourselves to. We don't know that. We're in the mistaken idea that we're the body, we're from a particular country, from a particular family, from a particular caste or religion, and therefore we work very hard for those things. But one thing we should know is that whatever we have, whatever our possessions, whatever, even our body, our mind, it all belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Think about that. I'll tell you a story. You know, my father, he passed away now, but he was on vacation in Florida, you know, and this was back when they didn't have, anyway, it was a while ago. So he was walking along the beach, and somehow his wallet fell out of his shorts. So it's tough when you're on vacation. You lose your wallet, all your credit cards, your money, and stuff like that. So you know what he said? He said, my son's a Hare Krishna. If I get that wallet back, I'm going to give him a donation. So that evening, some guy came knocking at the door. I said, I think I have your wallet. And all the money was there, the credit cards were there. He said, can I give you just a reward for that? I said, no, I don't want any reward. This is very true story. Well, Prabhupada gives a similar example. I mean, if you think about it, you know, you find a wallet on the street. You should make a play of this. You know, a little skit. Yeah. You find a wallet on the street, you know, you take it out. One person is like, hey, okay, there's $100 here. Not only that, but I've got, you know, those all these credit cards, and you know, I'll just go to some kind of, you know, this is my mentality, right? I'll make sure they don't see my face, and I'll get some money out of this, I'll make some purchases out of this, right? Well, that person is called a thief, right? That's a thief. And another person, they see this wallet and say, uh-oh, I don't know, I don't want to get involved with this, and they throw it away. That's kind of weird, right? That's weird. But the person who's really upstanding and responsible sees there's possessions and all these credit cards and money, and he finds, oh, here's the address of the person, like the person who gave my father his wallet back, and he delivers it to the person, delivers it to who it belongs to. This is the reality of the world. Everything in the world belongs to Krishna anyway. You know, we can try to enjoy it for ourselves, and that is called, what's that? A thief. That's the thief, right? And we can say, I don't want anything to do with this. And that's called a little crazy. Right? But the real thing is, we take what we see what's around here, we see what's given to us to have some ability of control, and we return it to the person who it belongs to. That's Krishna. And we surrender it to him. And you know something? It's a fact that for every single one of us here in this room, and people outside of the room too, we all will have to surrender everything anyway. You're not going to escape. You can't escape. Not possible to escape. Everything you have, your home, your bank balance, your family, your car, your degree, your clothing, your jewelry, everything you will have to surrender at one time or another, especially it definitely will happen at death. You cannot escape. So surrender is happening anyway. We're surrendering anyway. So in the human form of life, we have the opportunity to surrender it before death. And that will make you happy. Because, you know what? Because doing that pleases Krishna. And when God is pleased, you automatically become pleased because you're part and parcel of Krishna. So this is the principle we're talking about today, Atma Nivedanam. So there's different things we can surrender. It's sometimes called prana, artha, dhya, vacha. Have you heard this before? Prana means what? Artha.
Money.
Money. Dhya. Yeah, your mind, intelligence, right? Your thoughts. Vacha. Words. So sometimes, in this sequence, you think of words as the cheapest thing, right? Prana, artha, dhya, vacha. But it's not necessarily this. But if you do your prana, you give your whole life, then all those other things go along with it. Srila Prabhupada gave a very interesting example. You know, because he stayed, before coming to the West, he was, you know where he was living? Was it? Vrindavan. Yeah, Vrindavan. He said, so there's so many people, some big businessmen, they would come to retire in Vrindavan. You know, and they would come, and they would come, and they would chant. And you know, he said, Krishna says,
It's very nice that you're coming to love me with your beads, but what about all your money? That's mine too. You've come to love me with your beads, but what about your money? That also belongs to Krishna. So, because usually they give it away to all family members, right? But that's Krishna's too. So, but at the time of death, before death, everybody has to do a will or testament. And the example is given, you know, by the six Goshamis of Vrindavan, the Rupa Goshami, Sanatana Goshami. They gave in their last will, you know what? It was before, when they took sannyas, which is like social death, sannyas. You know what they did? How they split up? They were very wealthy. Half they gave to Krishna. 25% they gave to family member, and 25% they gave to. Actually, it gives emergencies. But if it's your last will, then you can also give that to Krishna. So that's how they did it. Okay, so we're going to give some examples of devotees who practiced Atmanivedan. I think you know some of these examples. I'm sure you know. There was a woman devotee who was very very fiery in her personality. You know what this is? In the Mahabharata. Anyway, who's that?
Draupadi.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, she had five husbands, the five Pandavas. So Yudhishthir, he was approached by Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra said, you know, I think it's a good idea, you know, you and Shakuni was the uncle of Duryodhana. You can have a little gambling, pass the time, have a little fun. Not a good idea. You know, the problem with gambling is, those days they didn't have Gamblers Anonymous, but they knew very well, Yudhishthira knew very well that, you know, gambling, you start to lose your mind. You get completely crazy when you start gambling. He says, that's not a good idea. So then Shakuni says, what's the big deal? You know, what's a little game? And anyway, Dhritarashtra insisted. And Dhritarashtra was his superior, his uncle. And he insisted. So finally, when a Kshatriya is challenged, they have to respond. So anyway, there was a gambling match. And one thing after another, Yudhishthir gambled his kingdom, he gambled his brothers, everything. Finally, he gambled his wife. Right? Oh, so this is a big deal. So he gambled away. Draupadi was in the women's chambers, and Dushasan brought her out. And the Kauravas, they wanted to see, because they were very jealous of Draupadi, they wanted to see her naked, right? Very beautiful woman. So Dushasan was trying to pull her sari, you know that. And she was holding on. She was holding on, right?
Yeah.
And what's she going to do against Dushasan, who's a big guy with muscles, right? She's just a woman. She was tough, but still. You know, she was holding the sari. And then all of a sudden she realized, what can I do? And she... Is that why we raise our hands above our heads? Is that why we do that?
Yes.
Because it's up to my safety, my reputation, everything is in your hands, Krishna. And when she did that, what happened? You know? Krishna incarnated as the unlimited sari. So how much it pulls? He couldn't. That was it. And what is that called? Atmanivedana, self-surrender. Yeah, this is a very good example. So there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, very interesting verse. Tad buddhayas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayana, gachanti apunaravritim, jnana nirduta kalmasha. This is in 5th chapter. It says, when one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge,
and proceed straight on the path of liberation. Intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who are Lord Chaitanya's principals, associates, and they describe the process of bhakti yoga thoroughly, they indicated that there's six symptoms of surrender. Did you know this? You know this? Yeah, in Krishna consciousness, it's very, very detailed. You know, what the process of spiritual development is, how you make progress in spiritual life, and how there's just like, you know, you're going from here to New York City, there's certain signposts along the way so you can know that you're on your way. So similarly, as you're trying to make progress in your spiritual life to render service to Krishna and surrender to Krishna, even though surrender means we've been fighting it for a long time, right? But we've been trying, but you know, we're on the way to surrender to Krishna. So there's six things that are there, symptoms of surrender. One should accept everything favorable for discharging devotional service. One should reject everything unfavorable for devotional service. So, what's the key thing is, what's the key thing? You know, ordinarily in the world, we think, you know, if you're a businessman, your arctic is, what's going to make me the most money, right? Or something, you know, that's not true. But so in your devotional life, you're thinking, what's going to give me the most opportunity to do service? This is a symptom. These are symptoms of surrender. Three, one should believe firmly that the Lord will protect his devotee always. One should feel exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord. You know, the example is given of a, is it a chakora bird? You know a chakora bird? This is a, it's an Indian bird. You should know. Come on. Have you, you know this? Manasha chandra chakora. Yeah, yeah. The chakora bird. So the idea is, you know, usually animals and birds, they drink from a, you know, they have those bird feeders, little things with, where they catch the water. So they come. But a chakora bird doesn't drink that way. You know where the chakora bird comes, gets its water from? The thundercloud. Waits for the thundercloud, and then it takes the water. That's the chakora bird. So that thundercloud, you know, Krishna is known as Shyam. Shyam Sundar. That thundercloud is represented on Krishna. So, yeah, devotee is like that. One should have no separate interest beside the interest of the Lord, and one should always feel oneself meek and humble. A devotee who follows these six principles of surrender always thinks, O Lord, I am yours in every respect. I am your eternal servant. In this way, a pure devotee becomes cleansed. Okay, so who are the example, the first example we gave of the epitome of surrender? Bali Maharaj. So we'll just briefly review. Many of you know the story of Bali Maharaj. Bali, he was the grandson of Prahlad. And he had taken over the throne of Indra. And Indra was like pretty much the king of all the heavenly universes, heavenly planets everywhere. So Bali Maharaj was in this big position. So then Lord Vishnu incarnated as Vaman Dev. And his plan was to get back for his brother Indra, because his mother was Indra, to get back the kingdom of Indra. So what did he do? He was, as a Brahmin, he dressed as a Brahmin, and he approached Bali Maharaj. And usually, you know, kings or people in high positions, they like to give in charity. And Vamanadeva knew that. So he went to Bali Maharaj and he asked him, well, give me some charity. And you know what? Bali Maharaj said, yeah, no problem. I can give you whatever you want. You know, she was in a big position. I'll give you land, I will give you cows, I can give you, you know, five wives if you want. I'll give you, riches. So Vamadeva said, no. I don't want that. Just give me three steps of land. And you know what? Because if I'm not satisfied with three steps of land, if you give me all that stuff, I still won't be satisfied. We have to learn how to be satisfied with just with our bare necessity. So you know what happened at that time? Right beside Bali Maharaj was his guru, Shukracharya. And Shukracharya said, hey, wait a minute. No. This is not a good idea. Because, you don't realize, this little Brahmin here, this is actually Vishnu in disguise. And if you give something to him, he'll take everything away from you. Now, people who are trying to follow the path of Krishna consciousness, this happens to them. It does. The family says, what are you doing this, Hare Krishna? Don't do this. Stop that. You become involved in this and your mind will be taken away. Isn't this what this is what we experience, right? This is the material world. Maya doesn't give up on us, doesn't give up on trying to keep us entangled in the material world very easily. So definitely there's going to be pushback if you try to give something, give yourself to God. Definitely there's going to be pushback. And Bali Maharaj experienced that. So, you know what Bali Maharaj heard from his spiritual master? He said, I know you said you'd give this, charity, these three steps, but, in times when your livelihood may be jeopardized, it's okay to lie. You can tell them the wrong truth. It's a white lie. Nobody's gonna criticize you for it. You don't realize. You're going to lose everything. So, what Bali Maharaj did? He said, sorry, I'm not going to accept. He rejected his own guru. So, we might have to reject some of the recommendations from family members or friends or things. Similar. So he rejected his own guru. And then what happened? You know what happened? Exactly what his guru said took place. So Bali Maharaj gave him the three steps. First step, he took three planetary systems. The next step he took, it went beyond all the way to the covering of the universe and cracked the universe, and a drop of water from the cut in the ocean came and washed his foot. And you know what that water is? That's the Ganges. Yeah. So then, that was, how many steps was that? How many steps was he given?
Three.
So do you know what happened then? Vamanadeva arrested him. He took everything from him. But he arrested him in the ropes of a Varuna, snake-like. He could be arrested by handcuffs. It wasn't like that. But he got arrested. He was arrested and wrapped up in the coils of a special snake. So here you think, he had everything taken away from him. Now he's arrested in front of, and all of his family members, his friends, his subjects are all there. How humiliating that must be, right? You think, isn't it? Right in front of, you see sometimes they arrest a mafia guy and, they have him on camera and they put the cloth over their face because they don't want to see they're being arrested. Right? So here, in plain sight of everybody, Bali Maharaj is being arrested and tied up completely by this snake and completely helpless. And so Vamadeva said, where's the third one? And Bali Maharaj, he could have said, gosh, this isn't fair. You already took everything from me. It's not fair. What kind of thing is this? What is this? But he didn't say that. You know what? He said, Deus. What's that called? Atmanivedanam. Self-surrender. He was not at all inimical to Lord Vishnu for taking all that stuff. If we had our stuff taken, we would immediately be mad, right? I know I would. But this—that's why Bali is the epitome, the emblem of surrender, because even though everything was taken away, he still understood all that stuff that was taken away is already belongs to God. He understood that. And the only thing I can give left is my full surrender. Full. Put your foot, third step on my head. So, I don't know if you know, but you know when we come into the temple, people, they lie flat in front of the deities. You know this? Yeah, that's called
Dandavatam.
Pretty much. I was reading a very interesting, I was reading in the Chaitanya Bhagavat the other day. I know, in this kind, the ladies don't do Dandavats. You know this? But I was reading there, and it said that during the Lord Chaitanya's time, that the ladies were doing Dandavats. Anyway, social karma, no social karma. But that means you were lying down in front of the Lord, you know, Ashtanga Prana. Eight different prana. And we're saying, I am your servant, you please take me and take whatever you want from me, and that is my purpose in life. This is called the Atmanirida. Sometimes you'll find when somebody bows down, you look, oh no. They don't want to go all the way down to put a little. Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed that? Don't touch the ground. The ground is the lowest place. So we want to practice Atmanirvedam. How do we do that? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu begins and ends. Important thing to know. There are 9 principles of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, ending with Atmanivedanam. But interesting fact, in Kali Yuga, as explained by Jiva Goswami, quoted by Srila Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, none of the other processes of Bhakti Yoga will be effective unless it's accompanied by Kirtan, before and after. Isn't that interesting? So, you might be a good pujari. You might be a good working with money. You might be a good person who does garlands. You might be a good, you know, other thing. Whatever your service is to. But it won't be effective, you won't get, unless before and after it's accompanied by a kirtan. Very interesting. So this is why in Kali Yuga kirtan, some kirtan is so important. Very important. So by reading that, I understood. You know, Srila Prabhupada often says when he's giving a lecture, he said, you know, Lord Krishna gave his final instruction in Bhagavad Gita is sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Give up all other kinds of duties, all other religious principles, and just surrender it to me. I will protect you. Aham tum sarva papi adyo. I'll protect you from all sins. Masucha, don't worry. So he said, so this is the culmination of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, surrender to Krishna. Yeah. And so he said, that instruction and the instruction of Lord Chaitanya to always chant Hare Krishna are the same. That instruction, Sarvana, and the instruction of Lord Chaitanya to always chant Hare Krishna are the same. And so the secret of that is the verse, is what I was just saying. All other practices of bhakti have to be begun with and ended with kirtan. So it's very nice. Very nice. One other thing I'm going to make. One other point. I know it's time. That there's one kind of activity we do here in the Philadelphia temple that is gives us a taste of Atmanivedanam. Did you know that? I mean, there's all those things we can do. But, you know, when sometimes we give what we can, we do service what we can, but, you know, we hold back a little bit. If you're like me, I always hold back a little bit. You know, you get tired, you think, well, I don't know, I'm not going to really do all this stuff. But there's one time of year where you can practice Atmanivedanam. Complete self-surrender. What's that? That's Ratiyatra. That's Ratiyatra. This is the opportunity to, I mean, okay, you're not, you can't do it the rest of the year. Okay, I understand that. We're still in the beginning stages of devotion. I understand that. Okay. But take just some time, maybe some days, and see what the result is in those days of trying to give everything, all your mind, life, intelligence, artha, the donations, to Krishna. And see how Krishna reciprocates. You can see how Krishna reciprocates. You will see how Krishna reciprocates. It will be very wonderful for you. So that's one of the important reasons why Srila Prabhupada, in his preaching around the world, he said, all of your preaching, all of your activities will be successful if you hold the Ratiyatra festival. Do you know that? All of your activities. It gives all of us the opportunity to more fully surrender our mind, our dia, thoughts, life, artha, wealth, vacha, words. And in Ratiyatra, what happens in Ratiyatra as you're going down the street? Doesn't mean you're pulling the cart, but also there's kirtan. At the beginning is kirtan, and at the end is the kirtan, and the middle is kirtan. This is all surrender. Body, mind, words, everything. Okay. So, Atma Vivedana. Oh, one last thing. So, this mood of surrender is there. Lord Chaitanya taught this mood of surrender, and it's epitomized also in his last shloka in the Shikshastaka. Lord Chaitanya was a pundit, a scholar, great scholar, but he left only eight prayers. And the last one is very nice. It goes, Ashlishya va padaratam vidashtumam, adarshanam marmahatam torotula, yata tata vidigantulam pato vatranata tasu iva nakara. Translation. I only know Krishna as my Lord, and he will always remain as such, even if he kicks me. Sometimes it's translated, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, which is the same. To be kicked by the Lord is no ordinary thing. It's wonderful. Even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by never being present before me, he has always remains my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So that's a very elevated position. We're not at that position. But by regular hearing and chanting, and hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna and association of devotees, we can come to that position. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Question?
Yes.
Question? Yes, sir.
When you said this remark, like in the voice mass, somebody asked, what is the meaning of?
Well, you know, we say it's dedicating the body as a temple for Krishna. It's also, you know, this part here. You know what that is? That's a tulsi. You know, why it's tulsi is because when you're bowing your head, who are you bowing your head to? You think it's Krishna, right? Okay, it's Krishna. Yeah. Tulsi is only at the feet of Krishna, nowhere else. Sometimes, you know, if you go to a shrad, they'll put tulsi in the mouth of the departed person. Do you ever see that? Big offense. Nah, worst thing you can do. Tulsi, if it's offered first to Krishna, then you can put, but not straight. But tulsi is, you don't offer tulsi even to Radharani. Oh, if you offer it to Radharani, it's to give to Krishna. Oh, never directly to Radharani. You don't offer the tulsi to the spiritual master. So this is when you bow down to Krishna, tulsi, you find the tulsi, that is Krishna's feet. Tulsi, this is from Krishna's foot, and that's his toe. One explanation. There are a lot of different explanations.
But if that is the case, why would they put them in Krishna's place also?
Good question. He likes, you don't find the tulsi there, right? Why no tulsi?
Because the tulsi's on his foot.
Huh?
Because the tulsi's for his feet.
Because he's not going, he's offering respect to his devotees. No tulsi. You follow?
Okay.
Krishna's called Bhakta Vatsala. So, you know, Arjun, he was the chariot driver of Arjuna, right? Okay. He was the subordinate to Arjuna because of his friendly relationship with Arjuna. So, you know, you don't find this part, but you find that part. That's why. Something. Yes, sir.
So, this happened,
the
account is surrender. Yes. So, the surrender which movement started in 1966. Surrender that little and now, which is, so is it how do we teach them?
Can you repeat
the question is, the surrender that occurred in 1965 or 6 when the movement started compared to what the surrender is now? Well, you know, it's every person you have to see that. You can't really see. You know, for those who are initiated or aspiring for initiation in Krishna consciousness, there are certain principles that that we agree to follow as to help us surrender. No meat, fish, or eggs, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. Chanting 16 rounds a day of Hare Krishna, Mahamantra, and attending morning and evening classes. These are beginning principles of surrender. So each you have to check. Everybody who's doing that, you'll see. Yes, sir. Is that a question? Varuna did.
When devotees surrender, but they don't understand, they may criticize other devotees. Can you relate how that
criticism of other devotees affects
their service and surrender?
Well, okay. Devotees are like, Vaishnavas, it said, are like honeybees. And materialistic people are like flies. So, flies, you know, if you have a sore on your foot, they go for the sore. And the honeybees go for the honey. So devotees are like honey. So when you go for the sore, what do you get? Blood. Blah. So if you get enough blood in your consciousness, it ruins your spiritual advancement. So therefore, one of the beginning very important things in Krishna consciousness is to avoid unnecessary criticism of other people because it retards our spiritual growth. Yeah. With that. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.